The title of my message this morning is Don't Stop. And we're going to be looking at a passage we studied, the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Corinthians together. And we went through this passage, but I think it's really applicable to what we're going through as a church, as families, as a country today. You know, the reality of it is that life and ministry have trials. Just living life now, there's a lot of threats to life out there. And all these things that have happened over the last couple weeks, maybe change your way of thinking about certain threats and certain things going on. I hope that has caused us to re-examine our faith and get closer to God. See, that's what trials are for. James talks about that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, don't be discouraged, don't be worried when you fall into a bunch of trials. I will tell you that over the last 3 weeks, we've had trials inside the church. Families have had trials. Trials of some people said, that's incredible. But we need to understand that life and ministry have trials, and we need to persevere, and we need not to stop. See, that woman, she didn't give up. She didn't give up. In way of introduction this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31, Paul talks about all the trials in his ministry. He talked about all the troubles that he had. And he basically says this in verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. See, what trials could do is make you more of a minister of Christ. And labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths all. Yesterday I had a young man, he's worked on our deck and worked on renovating our garage, and he came by for prayer. And he says, I need strength. And he says, how things are going? And I started telling him all the things that have been going on. And he said, wow. He says, they need prayer more than I need prayer. I said, no, we all need prayer. And, you know, Paul's writing here, and then he starts listing the Corinthian church. They're having issues with carnality in the church and things that pale in comparison to what Paul had been through. But you know something? It doesn't matter what we're going through. God knows. God knows. And he says in verse 24, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Has anyone in here been beaten 39 times by five times? Nope. Thrice I was beaten rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and night have I been in the deep. And journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. You know, Paul looked around, everywhere he turned, there were people after him. There are things after him. There were situations after him. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren. Not only were the people after him, but everywhere he went, he was having issues. And then he just talks about his physical state and his emotional state. He says, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Not only was Paul going through all this stuff, but he was also trying to minister to the churches and the issues that they had. Verse 29, he says, who is weak and I am not weak? who is offended and I burn not. What's the issue here? The issue is that we all go through trials. We need to have faith in the flood. We need to walk and we need to work and we need to witness for Christ. We need to wait on the Lord and we need to worship Him. Verse 30 says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Because he realized this. He realized that every trial, every thing that happened in his life was an opportunity to glorify Christ. It was an opportunity to see Christ work in his life. It was an opportunity to see the truth of God's word applied. Oh, folks, today, life and ministry has trials, and we really, really need to understand that God's truth is still God's truth. It doesn't make it of none effect. In verse 31, he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. See, God knows all the issues that we go through. God knows that. And He says, with every temptation, I'm going to make a way to escape that you can endure it. In Hebrews, it says that we have a great high priest that's touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He was just like us, yet without sin. So today, as we look at our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, there are three points I want to challenge everybody. I want to encourage you with this morning about don't stop. Don't stop when there's things going on in your life. Don't stop when things get in the way and impede. The first one is don't give out. Don't give out. You know, the term give out means to work yourself to a point of absolute physical exhaustion. Wear yourself out beyond measure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This word for faint means to wear yourself out physically. To go to a point that you're just absolutely exhausted. And so what Paul realizes here and what we really need to understand when life and ministry has trials is that we need to realize that God's mercy is meet or sufficient for the ministry. We go through this word for mercy. And this word for mercy in verse 1 talks about favor, benefit, opportunity, the ability to do things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes to his protege, and he says, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. See, God's called us to a ministry. God's called us to live a life for Him. And basically what He wants to do, He says, I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give you the ability to go through this. Don't give out. It's how be it for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all what? Long suffering. See, God knows that trials could be just for a moment, or God knows that trials could be for a long, long, long time. He says that Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him and to life everlasting. Folks, people are looking. People are looking at what we're going through. People are looking about how we do ministry and how we live life. That is the greatest testimony we can have. And it should back up our words. And the issue is to not get yourself to a position of physically wearing out. Realize that God's mercy is meat for the ministry. Secondly, we need to understand that God's mercy gives a lively hope. We're using the same word for mercy that we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His what? abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes a thing about the resurrection of Christ, that it gives us hope. If Christ was not raised, then we're all dead. And we need to understand that God did all those things by His mercy, to show us favor, to give us benefit, to give us opportunity. Oh, a lot of people just wear themselves out because they don't understand God's mercy. We need to realize that God's mercy is meat for the ministry, and we need to understand that God's mercy gives a lively hope. This morning, I want to give you three practical steps to not wear yourself out in life and not wear yourself out in ministry. Three practical steps. So we need to take a practical approach to not wear out. Take things day by day. See, that woman, she just took step by step to get closer to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, a couple of verses down from our text, it says, "For which cause we faint not." See, God's given us a cause. Our cause is to live for Him. Our cause is to serve Him. He says, "For which cause we faint not." We don't wear ourselves out. He says, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day." See, we need to take things day by day. We pray, God told His disciples, "Give us this day our what? Daily bread." And a lot of people just look at what's going on and say, "It's just too much. It's just too much." Folks, if anybody's been in college, you realize that sometimes there's courses that you just have to take day by day. Sometimes there's work situations or projects that you just have to take day by day. See, if we just walk day by day, we say, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And what we need to do is we need to take things day by day, and God is going to give us a new start every day. But if you keep on working and you just work constantly and you never get rest and you'll never get renewed, you'll give out. So we need to understand that we need to take things day by day. Secondly, do not burn out. Do not burn out. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be what? Weary in well-doing." See, a farmer doesn't plant the seed and then gets a crop the next day. He has to work at it. And in sometimes certain types of soil and certain types of weather, you have to work at it really, really hard. But every day. You know, the guy that makes the donuts, he gets to get up every day and make the donuts. And the point is that we don't burn out if we take things day by day. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." The same concept of just physically wearing yourself out. Hezekiah said this. He says, when he was sick, he said, "I can't praise you. I can't work for you when I'm sick." Later on, there's other scriptures in the Old Testament. He says, "I can't praise you when I'm dead." See, we need to understand that God gives us a ministry here on earth. And we need to be working for Him and not burn ourselves out. Because we don't need to take ourselves out of the game. We shouldn't take ourselves out of the game. And so we need to take care of ourselves so we can do things for God. And so we can meet life's trials and ministry trials. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Rick was telling me yesterday about his run. And I called him up and I was asking him a question. He said, "What?" And he's, he's doing that. And I'm going, "What?" He said, I just ran 2 hours and 44 minutes. And I said, "I can't run 2 seconds." Okay? And he's basically talking about having to get back and basically have to just keep one step in front of the other. And there were times that he just said, I just give up, but he just kept on going. Folks, we need to keep the end in sight, but we need to keep a perspective that we just can't get the end immediately. That we need to take things day by day and not wear out. Health is important. Stability is important, emotionally and physically. The third thing is wait on the Lord. What does wait on the Lord mean? It means trust in Him. It means believe that He can bring things to your problem. He should not be the last resort. He should be the first resort. Very familiar verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, but they that what? Wait on the Lord. Psalm says that wait on the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But they that wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. They will not wear out. Day by day, His mercies are new, as Jeremiah found out. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary because they're doing it in Christ's power. They're doing it in God's power. Paul tells Timothy, he says, for this cause I've obtained mercy. God knows where your limits are. God knows the issues that you're going through. And He's going to give you the opportunity and the benefit to, and the favor to get through it. They should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Old Testament word that matches the New Testament word for faint. And so the first thing is don't give out. He says, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. You know who gave you the life? God did. Who gave you your ministries? God did. Who's going to give you strength and mercy to do it? God will. We just need to stay inside ourselves and trust in Him to get us to the end. He says, we faint not. So the thing, don't stop. Don't give out. Don't wear yourself out. Secondly, don't give in. Don't give in. That woman could have just said, okay, well, this is just an incurable disease. Now just live with it. She didn't give in to that. She just kept on trying things. And finally said, you know, I need something bigger than me. I need something bigger than the doctors. I need something bigger to fix my problem. Folks, that's what we all need. We need God. Don't give in to the lies of the world. In verse 2 it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Boy, that's happening today. That's happening today. I've heard people say, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't do this. And if you had faith, you wouldn't do that. And if you had faith, this would happen. No. I have faith. Amen. And I'm not going to give out. It says, walking in crowd or handling the word of God deceitfully. And people twist the word of God to their own means. Oh, don't give in to the lies of the world. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Folks, we will preach God's word. We will preach the truth. We will live by truth. And if you're not going to live by truth, then you need to start now. Because you've given in. Stop. Don't give in to the lies of the world. See, if you give in to the lies of the world, then problems become prominent. Problems become the priority. And what happens is we hide the gospel. We hide the gospel. In verse 3 it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We lose sight of what the real issue or the real purpose is. It's to win people to Christ. Folks, don't wear out. Don't give in to the lies of the world. And don't hide the gospel. Because if you're giving in to the lies of the world and you're hiding the gospel, then you're blinded. Don't give in and be blinded. In verse 4 it says, to whom? In whom? The God of this world. And I want you to understand that God is small g here. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. See, that's what Satan wants right now. He wants us to be worried about all these other things, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of the real, what the real mission is, what the real purpose is. And it causes division, and it causes dissension, and it causes a whole bunch of stuff. And then everybody just gets argumentative, and now he's won. Because a house that's divided cannot stand. Don't give in. Don't give in to the lies of the world. Don't give in and hide the gospel. Don't give in and be blinded. Fourthly, don't give in and thinking that it's all about you. What can I get? No, it's what can I give? See, Christ gave his all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave himself. On Mount Moriah, he gave himself a sacrifice for that instead of Isaac. It says, verse 5, it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. So don't give in to the lies of the world. Don't give in and hide the gospel. Don't give in and be blinded. Don't give in and thinking that it's all about you. He gives us mercy. Don't give in and forget what God has done in you. Folks, if you have Christ, if you're a believer, you're following him. This is what's happened to you by God. We've obtained mercy. And in verses 6 and 7 it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts. This morning, is the light of God shining in your hearts? Or are we all wrapped up in what's going on in the world? To give. Why does it need to shine in our hearts? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's talking about us. We talked about being redeemed. We talked about being justified. We talked about being sanctified. We talked about being reconciled. We have the light of God inside of us. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So don't give out. Don't give in. Or no, don't give in. And thirdly, don't give up. In verses 8 through 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. This issue in the first one, about troubles. Everybody has troubles, and the word for trouble is to be afflicted, to be distressed. And we need to not give up when troubles seem to bind you. See, the word here for distressed means to put bounds on you, means to straiten you, means to confine you. And see, what we got today is we got troubles and afflictions that are binding us. We have troubles and afflictions basically keeping us from doing what God wants us to do. But it gets even more applicable to us. Don't give up when troubles seem to bind you. That's what we are, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Don't give up when you're at a loss to know what to do. That's what the phrase, we are perplexed, but not in despair. To be perplexed was just to be at a total loss of having no direction. Thy word is a lamp, a light unto my feet, and a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And over the last couple of weeks, I've encountered situations where people say, I just don't know what to do. Take actions consistent with God's word and God's truth, and you're going to be going the right way. And if it's not what God wants you to do, you'll figure it out. And then you can change direction. See, the issue is, don't give up when troubles seem to hem you in. Don't give up when you're at a loss what to do. God takes us. That's where faith could actually work. Verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. I mean, don't give up when everyone seems to be against you. When you take these words and you literally translate it out, to be persecuted is to harass, trouble, to molest one. Okay? And then forsaken means to be left in the lurch. The issue is, God will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't give up when troubles seem to bind you, when at a loss to know what to do, when everyone seems to be against you. The last phrase in here, cast down but not destroy. You know, have you ever watched WWE or this wrestling, you know? People go out and they do all this theatric stuff and they do these body slams. That's what cast down means here. Don't give up when you're body slammed to the ground. That's what cast down, but you're not destroyed. You're not ruined. See, the Bible says, I don't care what man can do unto me. And so we need to not give up when troubles seem to bind you. We need not give up when you're at a loss to know what to do. When everyone seems to be against you, when body slammed to the ground, find God and follow Him. What we need to understand is we need to remember that Christ did not give up. What would have happened in the Garden of Gethsemane if Christ has said, that's it, I'm tired of this, and I'm not going to the cross? You know, I think probably some of you over the last couple of weeks or so probably came to a point where you said, I just give up. It's not worth it. This is just not working for me. It's just not working for me. What would have happened if Christ gave up? We'd be lost in our sins for eternity. God's will would not have been done. In verse 10, it says, always bearing about in the body, in our body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Boy, don't give up when those four things are happening to you. realize who Christ is and what he didn't give up, and we shouldn't give up. We're renewed day by day. You wait on the Lord and he renews your strength. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. Don't stop, but do go. Don't stop, but do go. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul writes this. We saw all the things that he's gone through. Things that are much bigger than we haven't gone through. But then he writes to Timothy. He says, the time of my departure is at hand in the previous verse. But then he says this. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, folks, keep the faith this morning. Don't stop. Don't wear out. Don't give in. Don't give up. Have faith in God. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, folks, we need to go. You know, when things get bad, do something good. Do something for God. When you don't think God knows what you're doing or what's going on in your life, draw close to him and do something for God. Don't stop. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, someone here does not know you as Christ, Lord, as Savior, Lord. I just pray that they would ask you for forgiveness and believing that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose the third day. Father, help us, Lord, not to give up. Help us, Lord, not to give in. Help us, Lord, not to give out as Christians, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to meet the challenges of our life, Lord, and our ministry, Lord, with faith and with peace and with joy, knowing that your abundant mercy can come down on us. Father, we need your mercy today. Lord, be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With love.